I want to welcome you to the new Drag Champ Show. The three amigos are leading this show, none other than Jake Hodge, Mr. Hoodrich, Ryan Gleghorn, and Gary Don Free, Mr. Drag Champ himself. Now, I wouldn't ride to the store with these three yahoos, but you put them together for some good old stories, some racing news, some results from all over the world. Now, that's a party you just don't want to miss. So, let's tune in, let's hang on, and let's get it on. I want to welcome you to the Drag Champ Show.
All right, so with us on the Drag Champ Show this evening from Lake Havasu, Arizona, the guy that just pulled off the hat trick out west, and our Mike, what are we doing? The hat trick is something that's not really seen anymore in super gas, but you did it. What's life like over in Lake Havasu?
Life is good, but I wish you would have talked to me last week because I just came back from Dallas and got my butt kicked first round. So I mean, that just shows you how quickly things can turn in the drag racing world, as you guys know.
All of the Wallys on each shoulder, like you got three on one shoulder, and I see at least two on the other. How many of those from last weekend?
Just the two over my right shoulder.
Okay.
Just the two. So you didn't pick up one for the WW Williams shootout on like Friday night or something?
Yeah, they just give you a big check.
Well, that's not so bad.
No Wally.
So you do it a little differently in super gas. You've still got doors and a roof on your car. So
yep.
What? Tell us a little bit about it's a Camaro, right? I looked it up a minute ago. I promise, right? I did my research.
That's all right. I kind of like being the nobody that nobody knows of.
After this, you'll still be nobody. Nobody knows.
I hope so. I like it that way.
It's hard when you got that 71 right on your window, though. That kind of is a tell.
Well, I don't know. I'm still pretty shocked by that as well, but I'm still kind of new to this. I've been racing a long, long time, but chasing NHRA points is pretty new to me. This is my third year going into NHRA points chasing, so I feel like I've been pretty lucky.
So you're doing it a little bit unconventional for super gas in 2019. We're not going to say 2020 because nothing's unconventional in 2020, because what's his name in the Lumina is just wrecking everybody. James,
right?
Yeah.
Kunkel.
That's
in Supercom.
That's in Super. I know. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing normal about 2020 in any super category, but you're doing it with doors and a roof and, like, you know, an actual hood area. I mean, we've got an actual car we're running super gas with. I mean, have you always been that way? Have you got a Roadster? I mean, what tell us about your racing operations. You had a dragster that matches it, and I'm thinking your favorite color is black.
You know, I know this in super gas, the tool to have is a Roadster. I kind of sometimes wish I had one myself. I feel like I could see out of it better. But the Camaro I have is my dad's first race car he bought in 1982. And I fell in love with it. I was so pumped and so excited that my dad was going to be a race car driver. And at that time, I was 5 years old and just grew up loving Camaros. And he sold that car to a family friend. And I think he sold that car in 1986. But it was always close because it was a family friend that had it. And I had a chance to buy it back in 2004. And when I bought it back, it had a home-built mild steel chassis. And I raced it like that until 2012. And at the end of the 2012 season, I pulled that body off and found myself a wrecked Haas Pro Stock chassis and built the car that you see now. So doing it unconventionally really wasn't my plan to run super gas with it. I just never wanted to sell that car and try to build the best car I could with what I have.
So basically you spend enough money to build a new Roadster, you just have a Camaro.
Exactly. Okay. Pretty much, yes.
So in Division 3, I don't know how it is in D4 or D7 where you're out west, but whenever they have like the Mosher shootout, right? You have different categories, each, you know, one representative for each category. If you had to pick between the two, you know, take one weapon to battle, which one are you taking?
As far as, I'm sorry, I didn't understand
the question. Between the Camaro and the dragster, which one would you pick if you qualified in both in the Mosher shootout and had to pick one?
Oh, without a doubt, the Camaro. I'm not very comfortable in the dragster, to be totally honest with you. That's my wife's car. She normally drives that car, and we bought it for her, and she's been pretty busy with her business the last year or two and hasn't been able to travel with me as much. So I've been driving it a little bit here and there, but more often than not, that thing just sits in the pit with nobody driving it just because I don't like to be bothered with it.
Hey, don't say that too loud. Don't say that too loud.
I love this guy. This is a super gas racer at heart right here. Screw that pipe rack. We're going super gas racing.
I'm not good. when I'm there by myself, it's hard running two cars. It's easy when my wife is there. I love when she's there because she fuels her car. She airs her own tires up. She takes care of the little things. But when I'm there alone, it's just too much for me to deal with. I don't like the distraction.
So did you run it in Dallas last weekend?
No way. Nothing just sat there.
You just left it hanging in the stacker and said, to hell with you. We're going door car racing.
Yep. That thing's, I think just about everybody around here knows that it's sitting there available. So when somebody needs a car to drive, it's there. If the alien's not there, it's my wife.
Stop it.
So Jake, I'm 4 hours from the national event in Dallas. I fly to Vegas, and there's a super comp ride just sitting in Dallas that I could have jumped in. What the hell am I doing?
Well, my whole life I've wanted to run at least one 90 race so I can tell myself it's not as easy as it looks. Just one. That's all I want to do.
Come on, buddy.
We might have to work something out.
What are you doing next week? Probably going to sit vacant.
I'll be in Dallas.
I'm to Vegas instead.
Yeah, there you go. Man, I'll tell you what, it, Jake, it can look easy, but that is a tough, tough class, whether it's the dragsters, the super street racers are brutal nowadays. I mean, super gas, all of them. When you put a throttle stop on something, these motors and these cars are just not intended to run on a damn throttle stop. It throws everything out of whack, and it just make you look stupid.
What's up, Ryan? Welcome to the call. Where are you at? How far did you make it so far?
Well, sorry I'm late. No. I am somewhere in the middle of bumfuck Mississippi.
That's where Steve Stites lives.
Yep. I passed where he lived about an hour ago.
Oh, God.
So it is – I'm currently surrounded by trees, and there's, like, no lights anywhere. Like, turn the camera around whatever way you want to.
That's Mississippi.
All I got from. Yeah, it's basically like the scrotum of America. So I'm driving through it. I'm trying to get to Montgomery.
The good thing, Ryan, is you look like the dude from Scream, because we can't see anything but pitch black. But
I am not complaining.
Oh no, this is perfect.
Ryan got a whole lot better looking.
Yeah. So super gas, super cop. So that, we were back to that. So Mike, you. Let's talk about the week before. We're going to skip Dallas a little bit for now, but tell us about the double divisional. What is it? Wild Horse Pass Saloon Race Day. I can't ever figure out what the hell they call that place. I call it Phoenix.
I think it's Wild Horse Motorsports Pass. I think, but I'm from here and I don't even.
It's Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park.
There we go.
Okay, thanks. The Indians own it. That's all I know.
That is true.
Sounds like it's cheap on tax time. So whenever we get around to Lake Havasu Live, because that's what I'm concerned about right now, because that place looks awesome. Like, what is it like day in and day out of Mike Boehner whenever we're not talking about super gas Mike Boehner?
It's boring. I keep to myself. I live a pretty boring life. My wife and I love to go out on lake. We got a boat that we hang out. We love to people watch. It's always a party scene here. I guess we try to keep ourselves somewhat young by living that life a little bit, but as responsible adults at the same time.
That does sound a little bit boring.
Yeah, it sounds boring. I'm going to get this out of the way just because Ryan and I are announcers, and we're going to ask it. How many times has an announcer called you Mike Boehner?
Oh, man. I can't even tell you.
Okay, perfect. So what would be the first one? Because that's how I would have said it if I did not know how to say your name.
I wouldn't expect it any other way. And the people that say it Boehner, I just know they want to say Boehner, but they're trying to be mad. If you can grow up with my middle name in middle school, you can survive anything. Yeah. I get easy after that.
Corona's not shit.
No, it ain't got nothing on my last name.
That's pretty awesome. I did see some photos from y'all, and I mean, you all just got a nice backyard with the pool and then out on the water a lot. So looks like you guys have fun out there in the Arizona sun.
We try.
Why would you have
a whole point of moving here from Colorado.
That does sound a lot better than Colorado.
Oh, Colorado's miserable. It's cold there. I think it's cold there now.
It's cold here now. I can't say much. And I'm in Indiana, so you all are in warmth. The high was like 50 degrees today. It's cold for me. I'm over that.
Ryan, was it cold over the weekend in Dallas? I know you weren't there, but Boehner tells me that it was freezing. And then I talked to the Theobalds, and we dropped him.
There we go. He's still in the scrotum of America.
These guys said it was cold. I rolled in. It was like 70-something degrees when I flew in last night about midnight. So is it not cold in Arizona? Because my wife lived in Arizona for a little while, and, I mean, it got cold at night there. It may be 100 during the day and like 40 at night or something.
I think the coldest low I've ever seen since we've been here in 4 years is 48.
It might have felt like 30.
I don't know. Better than Colorado.
Yeah. Colorado does get, like, 30s the high, right?
Yeah, there's some times. I mean, there's times where we won't, or days we won't see 0 degrees. Negative temps are the high.
Hey, we have that in Indiana. It's all right.
No. You need to move south, Jake. That's too cold.
I might. You never know. I'm not sure how far south, but it might happen.
When things go minus on the temperature gauge, I'm done. Like, I've never been in minus weather. I don't want to be. Like, that's not intended for humans, or I don't think.
I agree. Same. Why we bounce.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your trip to Indy, because that thing got, like, you documented it on Drag Champs, so we know kind of the basic, but the trip coming back got interesting.
The trip coming back, let me back up a little bit. I kind of just know my life. Like, I expect things to go wrong, because they typically do in my life. I'm a low buff team. I got low budget stuff. I got an old bus. I got an old stacker. Even our cars. I mean, my Camaro, I know, looks cool. People think it's a cool looking car, but if you get up close to it, it's not that nice. It's a low buck operation. And so I told my wife when we left there, or left for Indy, nothing was going to stop us from having a good time. I just kind of knew something wasn't going to go smooth. And on the way out there, it went surprisingly smooth. I kind of shocked. I even made a comment of it to her. Wow, I can't believe we made it here without a single hiccup. And on our way home, we had more than enough. I paid the price for that comment. So we ended up getting stranded in Amarillo, or just outside of Amarillo. I got a warning sign on the bus to stop. And so I did. And I checked a few things over. I crawled out underneath the motor looking for simple things, you know, like belt attached and rods hanging out of the pan, you know, the things you would normally look at. And sounded, or everything looked good, so I decided to fire it back up, and it had a horrible knock. It sounded like the rods were trying to come out. At that point, we knew it was time to call a tow truck. That ended our trip. We ended up renting a car to get home, and I had to go back a week and a half later to get the motor home.
Didn't y'all sit around in the, like, a repair place for like a day or something too? Or
yeah, we did, because I'm kind of a control freak. I wanted to see with my own eyes what was actually wrong and make sure I wasn't getting shafted by a dealership. But these were good guys. They weren't about to screw me over, but I still needed to see with my own eyes what was wrong. It ended up being a broken camshaft.
I was going to say, the rods knocking weren't the clue that something was really wrong.
Yeah, something was definitely really wrong, but I feel lucky. It was just a broken cam, not a bottom end problem.
Yeah, that definitely is better than hanging some rods out the bottom. So,
yep.
So winning a D7 championship's not an easy task by any means. How far did you have to travel? I mean, I'm sure you had to go, you know, all the way up the West Coast. I mean, what all did that year include in 2019 to get that done? Because that's, like, we talk about racing in, like, D5s, a pretty big stretch when you go from Brainerd to Colorado and stuff like that. But, you know, D7's a pretty big stretch as well, isn't it?
It is, but I think I'm the exception. That was a big reason why we chose to move here. Or not a huge reason, but to me it was. My wife liked the lake and the warm weather. To me, I liked that we were centrally located in the division to be able to chase points. And coming from Colorado, we were so far in the middle of nowhere in the division that everywhere we went, we had to go 1,000 miles. And to me, we race 2 divisionals and 2 nationals in Vegas every year, and that's a 2.5-hour drive. I got a national and a divisional to catch in Phoenix. That's a 3-hour drive. Fontana and Pomona are both 4 hours. So really, I don't have to travel very far. My big travel is Sonoma, and that's like a 10-hour drive. But luckily for us, we get a double divisional and the national, so you travel once and hit 3 races. So it really isn't too bad for me.
Damn, everybody in Division 7 needs to move to Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
No, don't tell them that. Or I guess, yeah, you do, but if you do tell them that, tell my wife a realtor. We'll tell you how.
Yeah, there you go. That's so, not a bad drive at all.
Anytime I hear a D3 guy bitch about it, I can punch him in the mouth.
Yeah, you can.
We got to go from Bowling Green to Columbus?
I talked to a ton of guys this weekend and in the lanes at Las Vegas, and I mean, they're from Utah or Idaho or wherever they're from, and they're just like, yeah, you know, 10-hour drives, nothing. Like, they just, it's just what they do, and none of them seem to care. You know? Yeah. Mount Kilman's from Washington, I believe, or something up on, I mean, you know, and they're just like, look, this is what we do. This is what we have to do to race, and it's just part of what we do. So,
right.
And I gripe about, you know, Montgomery's 10 hours from me, and I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to bail out and head that way for the million this weekend or stay at home because it's a 10-hour drive, and these guys are like, that's a regular weekend for us.
Yeah.
So if we didn't super class race, would we try the big money scene? Do you like full tree racing? I mean, what's the reasoning to stick with the super stuff? Is it just primarily scheduling?
No, it's not at all. It goes back to me being a kid and reading the National Dragster and just idolizing a handful of racers. I was always a big fan of Sheldon Gecker and the list goes on and on. Just NHRA class racers that I just idolized. I just grew up loving that stuff. But when I raced in Denver, I was more of a bracket racer than I was a class racer, but I always really wanted to try my hand at chasing points and just went into Wally. It was really my main goal, trying to come out and win one. So I think, I don't know if this is a short-lived span for me, but I love chasing points and I love doing NHRA racing, but I know it doesn't make any sense. I know chasing big money is a bigger, I don't know, it makes more sense, I guess. But I don't know if it really does. You spend so much money to go to those races and there's so few of them out here. So it's kind of a toss-up to me. I don't know.
One of your Denver brothers, Gary Wombolt, won the 10K, I think, Saturday night. And I was interviewing him after.
Gary's been on a roll.
Yeah. Gary's,
not many people would know this, but just last month, their final, or the end of the season, big bracket race, they call it Bracket Nationals. Everybody called that the Gary Wombolt show. He won 3 races that weekend.
Oh, damn.
Come out here to his next race to win one. That guy's a stud.
He really is. One of my buddies had him first round, I think, that same day. He's like, hey, what do you know about that guy? And I said, he ain't no slouch. I was like, I've known enough. I've watched enough D5 to know he turns on wind lights. And later that night, he's in a winner's circle.
He's as crafty of a finish line driver as you'll ever see. And honest to God, I feel like I can owe some of my – I owe a lot of my success today to watching that guy. At Vandermeer, you've got the best finish line view anywhere. You're up top of the racetrack. And there's a chain link fence that everybody piles around late in the evening or late in the afternoon watching his finish line driving. And that guy's as good as anybody at it. And I honestly can tell you for 10 years, I watched that guy trying to figure out what he does and how he's doing it. He can back a super comp car up as good as anybody.
Wow. Well, he was excited. It was the biggest check he'd ever won. And I'm like, dude, I know you've won national events. He's like, oh, yeah, but I've never walked away with a $10,000 check. Like, he goes, you don't get all that at one time. So it's definitely a difference in the super categories versus the big money bracket racing scene. So,
yeah, I was super excited to see him do well. I know he can do it. I know for a fact he can. He just doesn't do it often enough for anybody to know him other than the NHRA scene.
All you class racers have me wondering, are you more – disciplined on the starting line or the finish line?
Oh, man. The thing that sucks for me is all of NHRA live or racing is live. You can go on live timing on NHRAracer.com. And it's like being naked on a big stage. Everybody can see exactly what you do. And I suck on the starting line. Everybody knows that. I get people all the time telling me how lucky I am. And so my strength definitely comes at the finish line. I feel like being a racer from Denver, you can't dial a car there. I don't care who you are. You cannot dial a car there. So you have to learn to drive the finish line. And I just feel like it's kind of playing into my strength being out here in D7 because everybody can dial a car here because the weather's so constant and stays pretty consistent. And I've been able to take it to my advantage. Even when I rarely have a starting advantage. Everybody knows that. I'm slow. I kind of suck there.
We should be friends.
Really? Good.
Yeah.
Maybe we could learn something from one another.
Yeah, maybe Ryan could teach us something. Ryan can hit the bottom. Me hitting the bottom is like Helen Keller. It's not good.
Off the top, you're pretty solid, though, bud.
Until it counts.
Well, you know, they all count.
Yeah, count on my tab.
Hey, that's when you need that little giggle juice and just make up for it. Make it look like you're perfect.
Gary, I went 581 on a 599 dial in the last weekend, okay? I've got the giggle juice.
It's getting there.
Did you grab it before you let go? Instead of bumping down, you just grabbed the juice?
No, my guy turned it red, so I just grabbed it from like 100 foot through the gear change and then let it ride out the back. I went 581 at like 115. Because by the time I let out of the button, I mean, the converter pulled it back down. It slowed back down a mile an hour.
Dude, I talked to Charles at Nitrous Systems this last weekend, and he had me convinced. Man, I just was dying for a nitrous system. I'm like, wait a second. I can't keep mine together as it is right now. I don't think I need nitrous, but man, it sure sounded like something fun to do.
Nor can you use it in Supercomp, Gary.
I don't run Supercomp. I can't seem to.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. I quit Supercomp racing. I'll be back in April.
Hey, there was a national event in Dallas, and I was in Las Vegas at a bracket race. So my son has told me that he doesn't want to run any points races. He just wants to run bracket racing. But I think that's because he wants to race his junior. So
I would say so. It's probably pretty likely.
Probably what Easton tells you, too. You don't need a big money race, Dad. You just need to take me racing, right?
No, I want to tell him we're going somewhere. Do they have juniors? No. Can I bring my Xbox?
You know what Austin asked? He goes, why does Cody Pollage not like juniors?
Because we can barely get Super Pro cars done in time. We don't need to add juniors into the mix. Isn't that right,
yeah, Ryan? And then we roll out of there at 6 in the morning and they're sitting in the Whataburger line. And I go, now do you see why Cody doesn't run juniors? He's like, yeah, Dad.
I don't know if Cody's allowed around kids either. So.
Just kidding, right?
Yeah. Somebody, you got to do that.
Right, Ryan, you might say that one more time because you definitely cut out right whenever you said he's my buddy.
Yeah, he's muted right now.
Yeah, he's my buddy. I gotta make five of them. But yeah, no, I understand Austin's side. If I was his age, I'd be wanting to go race as much as I could too.
Oh yeah, he's already every week now. It's like, hey, he was asking me where the races are, and he's figured out now that he's on Facebook how to go find all these tracks, and so he comes to me. Yeah, Dad, they're running here. It's only 10 hours away. And they're running for $200 for juniors. I'm like, no, son, we're not driving 10 hours to race.
It's like NHRA racing.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. But he's into it, which is great.
My kid won like $60 this week, and he said, oh, that's mine. And I'm like, yeah, it sure is. Like this $10,000 junior I got over here, and you know, this $150 got an entry fees. You get the $60. Might as well.
Hey, the good thing about juniors, they don't use much fuel. Like, I mean, 5 gallons of alcohol costs me like, what, $20? And it'll last a long time. So it's not a bad deal. I don't need to carry drums of fuel or anything like that. Well, part of it is he's not making that many rounds yet. So if he'll quit going red, I think he's going to be all right.
Good luck.
He thinks he needs to be double O. And I'm like, every time you've red lighted, they've been like red behind you or 100. I mean, just go 50. Give me a 50.
So you won D7 last year, but I think there was a year you got really close, right? There was another year that you finished pretty close in D5.
There was only one year I actually got a few races in D5, and that was prior to getting married. I think it was 2006 or 7. I think I finished 6th. That's the closest I've ever been, or that's the only year I hit, I think, 4 or 5 races. But that's as close as I got in D5, but the first year out here in D7, I finished 2nd in 2018.
So I ask that because I feel like every time we get close, like there's runs that you do, like lose sleep over. Like for me this last weekend, I ran Herman Munster in some contraption. It was some cast iron blown swamp buggy looking thing that went 590s at 122. And I gave it back 3,000. Is there any runs that like stick with you? Like, is there like say in 2018, whenever you finished 2nd, was there a time that where you were, you know, a high pressure round that obviously maybe you were late on the tree like I am, or?
Not really late. And so this is funny you asked that. In 2018, I went red 4 times and I was pretty aggressive on the starting line that year.
If it was in D4, you could win.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
You can go 3rd round like that.
That's what I hear. It didn't work for me there.
They don't have true start there either. So
true. I went red four times in 2018, and my opponents were 30 or worse every time. And that's what really got me looking into the analytics of things and percentages. And I started studying what super gas cars do, not just in D7, but all across the country. I wanted to know what everybody in the top 10 of every division and the top 10 in the nation did as a yearly average, and just realized, man, I'm setting up way too tight, way too aggressive. And so now I back it off. I try to be a little more conservative, which looks pretty sloppy, but that's why you hold, right? You make it look a little different.
Yeah, but I think what a lot of people that just bracket race, and that's a lot of our listeners, don't understand is that a lot of times you're rolling into a round at a national event or even a points race, and you may not have been on the track for 24 hours. It may have rained. It may have right. – you don't get an extra time shot that morning. You didn't make 20 runs that weekend and know where you're at. You've made sometimes one run, and you're going right into eliminations, and that run was a day or two ago. It's kind of tough to roll up there and just go, well, yeah, I'm going to be double O and dead on. It's just tough to do that.
I agree. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, I think. When you're 8 mile bracket racing, let go, you got to be 10 or better. And to me, I wouldn't hold you as much as I would in 8 mile bracket racing, because I don't know if I can be as good at the finish line as my car would be legging it out. But there's so many variables in class racing or super or dot 90 racing. They're just, you can't trust that car to go double O, 90 something every lap. So I play my percentages and just play a little more conservative and hope it works out.
Yeah. And I mean, the NHRA track prep, I mean, some days you'll hit the track on Thursday at a national, you'll make two or three time runs that day. And then Friday morning, you'll make a hit and you don't see the track till Saturday morning. By that point, the pros have been on the track. They've scraped it, prepped it, changed it 15 different ways. It's been oiled down 50 times. And you roll up at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and last thing you want to do is be double O red or something, because if you're 30, you still got a shot, especially if you're holding like.
Well, that all sounds good, but I'll be totally honest with you. I suck at national events. I've never in my life been outside of second round at a national event, believe it or not. So, and usually by then, or the time I'm done, the pros haven't even shown up. The pro drivers haven't even flown into the racetrack yet. So all that track prep stuff you're talking about, it doesn't mean anything to me because they didn't even come into hand.
Here's a life lesson in supergas. Just hold more. You'll be okay.
Oh, believe me, I hold plenty.
So what? How much do you hold? I knew I could get you into that conversation, so I tricked you there.
It depends. It really depends. I used to, so before 2018, that car always was running Super Street. And 2018 was my first year of supergas. And there, I felt like I could kind of be a bully. I had tons of mile an hour, and I could hit the tree pretty good. So at that point, I didn't care what I was doing. Just go out and hang with you guys. But that's not the case so much in super gas anymore. I don't really have the starting line advantage, and I certainly don't have the fastest car out there. So I change it up. I can tell you one thing. I never dial 90. It's never dial 90. But whatever I am set up, I feel like I can make it turn 90. If I'm set up 85, it's because I feel I can make 85 or turn into a 90.
So how much mile an hour are you running the Camaro?
In Phoenix, in 100-degree heat last week, it was 165. In Dallas, it was like 167.
Yeah, so you've got 175 cars coming at you all day.
There's a few. Like Steve Williams is the exception in D7. He's 176. That car is way fast.
Yeah, the Can-Am car. It's crazy fast. Always been.
Yep. There's a few guys going 172, but so I can see that. But if you look out you can't really see much of anything in my car. It's nothing but wheel tugs and cage. But I can still see it. I got mirrors. And at that point, I'm not really too concerned where they're at, other than knowing if they're close or not. But I'm just picking my spot and just trying to be a disciplined finish line driver.
Yeah, usually in Division 4, those 172 to 175 cars, my last Supergas car was 168. By 1,000 foot, they've already stuck a nose up in the window anyway, let you know they're there. They're like, hey, what's up, dude? I'm here. How fast you want to go? And it's just from 1,000 foot on, you're going, okay, I see you. It's just a matter of, are you going to try and drive around me, or am I going to dump you and turn you loose, or what's going to happen? So it's really fun racing. I think it's more fun
about it. It's a chess game.
Yeah, it is. It's more fun to me there than Super Comp. I see a lot more. It seemed like there was a lot more playfulness in Super Gas on the finish line than there was in Super Comp sometimes. But I haven't run as much Super Comp, so. Huh.
So we're dropping Denver and Dallas so far. Are we going to fill out the divisional side of things more, or are we about done for the year?
I'm almost done. I went to Dallas because the rumor last week was Vegas wasn't going to happen. And I had two nationals to claim by the time the Phoenix race was over. So I played my chances and just went to Dallas. It's unfamiliar territory. I haven't been down that track too many times, but I would rather have a chance running there and coming up a race short if I skip Dallas and Vegas race doesn't happen. And next week there's a divisional and Sports Nat, which counts as a national event. It's a double in Vegas. So that double next weekend is literally the end of it.
There's a mathematical shot, right? Like that's something that's in the back of the mind, because you're not even 60 points back, 62 points back, something like that.
Yep. Yeah, there's a shot. I can't suck. I went to Dallas and sucked. I can't keep doing that, but there's definitely a shot.
You need to get out of the second round at a national, and that's going to do it for you. I mean, you've got the divisional side.
The sports national is like a national event without the pros. It's run exactly like a divisional.
So there you go.
I should feel good there. That's my goal.
You found your Huckleberry.
Right?
So you said that's the end of it. Don't you have a national the week after?
We do, but I need a break. I've been on the road, or I'll have been on the road for three straight races. I kind of want a break. So I'm not there, and there's no point in running that national. I can't claim anything, and it does me no good. But I'll probably come back after the national and run that final division race. But I'll be out of division race claims, but we're still chasing Jeg's All-Star claims, and that race will count for Jeg's All-Star claims as well.
Yeah. Well, the reason to run a national is they give you that big Wally, and not a lot of people have the big Wally. A lot of people have the little one, but not as many have the big one. So you take every chance you can to get one of those things, man.
I agree, but there's this thing called a job, and I need to go to work sometime. I went to Phoenix, thought I was coming home after Phoenix and taking a break for a week, but I ended up going straight from Phoenix to Dallas. If I hit all three Vegas races, that's five straight weeks on the road. That's a bit much for a poor guy like me.
Yeah. Well, you're rich in wind lights right now, especially on the divisional side. So tell me, what you're a big NHRA proponent, class racing, but what's the state of NHRA for you right now? You know, you've got the quotas now at the nationals that make it harder. Some people gripe. I mean, people gripe them all the time about NHRA, this, that, and the other. So, but what's your thoughts on it? Because you seem to be committed running that series and chasing those points. It obviously means a lot, and it is a prestigious thing to do and to achieve. So
I may not be the best guy to ask on that, because I'm literally chasing a childhood dream. This is something I've always wanted to do and never been able to until we moved out here. I was more focused and driven to running a business back home in Colorado, and now my life has changed. It's like I'm trying to just live out a childhood dream. I understand that the money's terrible in NHRA racing. You fight for contingency money, and the checks are tiny. You spend more money in diesel fuel than you'll even have a chance at winning when you get to the race, if you win. But to me, it's just this dumb prestige of chasing points and seeing how you stack up with the biggest names in the NHRA sportsman world.
Yeah, well, there's no right or wrong answer.
No, I know it seems stupid, and I agree it seems kind of stupid, but it's what I love and it's where my heart's at. And there's just something about, like, trying to make your car not necessarily go 90, but make it go 87 or 85 or 82 and turning that into a 90. I love that challenge of having the throttle stop in there rather than just having some shoe polish in there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, the throttle stop is an equalizer for sure. And I know a lot of these guys have it figured out where they can get them to just lay flat on the stop and just repeat. But at the end of the day, it is a game changer when you're dealing with those things. But to me, the fun, I'm kind of like you, the fun was the prestige of an NHRA national event. I never cared much for the divisionals. Maybe that's why I never did worth a crap at them. But the national event, when you're you win and you're looking, you know, you got the same trophy John Force has, you know, and he's in the winner's circle and you're in the winner's circle. That's pretty special. But the throttle stop racing, I miss super gas because there just was a lot more top end games there. And you had people, you know, I competed against Craig Anderson, Big Head, and Tommy Phillips. And I mean, the list goes on. And there's just so many good racers in Division Four. And it wasn't always just put it on a 90 and let's see who can get closer. It was who can go down there and out drive each other. So it is definitely a challenge.
Yep, Ryan can attest to this. I dialed up 0.4 for 80 grand the other week, and I did the same thing for 2,500 this week. I mean, I don't like driving up on somebody with a 30-mile-an-hour difference, so I'll just ride with them.
Yeah. Is that like clubbing baby seals? Is that what Chris Galitti said?
Yeah, I mean, I took 2,000 each time, and neither one of them turned on a wind light.
Wow. You took 2,000 holding 0.4.
Back.
The baby seals took the club out of my hand and fucking beat my ass.
Oh my gosh!
Beaten over the head when you let go.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, they hit me when I pre-staged, and I'm still a little dizzy when the bulb came on.
That's what happens to me too. I get it, buddy.
No Mike, good. Who helps you stay on the road and do the things you do, man? There's got to be a couple of companies at least that make a difference.
Yeah, I got a couple. You know, like I said, I'm a small-time team. I feel like I'm the underdog still. I really do. But there are a few really, really good people out there helping me. And first, Goodyear. I run Goodyear tires. They help me out. I honestly can't believe more people don't run. I feel like they're great. The service, everything about those guys, I love. Hughes Performance, Hughes Converters in particular. Kevin Kleinweber is a game changer. There's a lot of good converter companies out there. I've tried a few of them. They're okay. They're good. But for throttle stop racing, I feel like Kevin Kleinweber is a pioneer in that sport. And the one thing the other good converter companies might have is good converters, but they don't have Kleinweber. And that guy knows throttle stop stuff as good as anybody.
Well, he knows bracket racing stuff too, because he did all my throttle stop stuff. And when he fixed my converter, my car went – what does my car run, Jake? Does it run dead one or two? Yeah, Jake knows.
Yeah, Gary follows you through 80.
Because I have a Kevin Kleinweber Hughes converter, and I know it's going dead one or two. Why get on the brakes when you know you can't break out?
Yeah,
right. I was just trying to scare you. No, in all seriousness, Kevin is – he's not just a 90 guy. I mean, he will help you get on your 90 combination, but – That dude is
definitely a race car guy. He knows race cars as good as anybody.
He's seen it all, man. And I think a lot of bracket racers don't think of Hughes, but I'll tout them. They've turned my car around and made me at least feel like I had a chance, and gave me a good car. But he's pretty good on the 90 stuff too. He's seen it all. That guy's won like 5 different classes in one car. He went top sportsman, super comp, super gas, super street, and hell, I don't think they tried it in comp eliminator or something. I don't even know what he did, but. That's with the same goal. Anybody else that helps you out, man?
EFI University, which confuses the crap out of people. Everybody comes up to me almost every race and they see an EFI sticker on my car and they just assume I've got EFI, but I don't. I got a good old Hollywood carburetor on the car. But EFI University is more than just EFI. It's a schooling where he teaches basically race engine development. And the guy is probably the smartest person I've ever met in my life. He's a total engine geek. And he's a huge help. He's super technical on things and always a big help. Also my engine builder, Sherway Automotive, they're in Kingman, Arizona, which is between Havasu and in Las Vegas. They do my engines for both cars. Quite a few guys out here in D7, but those are my biggest supporters, other than my wife. If it weren't for my wife, I wouldn't be able to do this. She stays back at home a lot of times when I'm off traveling. She's working her butt off and paying bills and sometimes paying my way to go racing even. I couldn't do it without her. She's great. She's always my biggest cheerleader, and I couldn't be happier and couldn't be able to do this without her.
One of my favorite photos of the year is her in your helmet, or her helmet, in a bikini and what, flip-flops or something. Beachman Bowling Green, going to take a shower, and it's raining and pouring, and she didn't want to get her hair wet.
Yeah, people think she's just being goofy and silly, but they don't know her if they think that. There's literally some logic behind her thoughts. It's downpouring rain. she's only got so many clothes packed for this road trip, and she's on her way to the showers, and like, what the hell? I got a bikini. Let's just ride to the showers in a bikini. And my and the reason to keep the helmet on is because the rain was getting in her eyes, and she hates rain in her eyes.
I didn't know where that photo was going when you sent it to me for the article. And I'm just like, once I read it, I'm thinking, well, she had a plan and she executed it. But it was just...
she's a pretty logical person, but she's also pretty goofy. She's fun.
That's pretty cool. Jake, Ryan, you guys got anything else for Mr. Boehner before we let him go?
See if Ryan's unmuted or not. He's not yet. I'll take you up on the other offer probably beginning of next year. We'll try something cool. Like we'll do magic tricks and stuff, then still be 50. But no, I followed along a little bit on the points chase last year and this year, and it's I don't know how you guys do it. It's impressive. I don't get it on the All-Star side of things too, because that's a whole nother world. Like you've got your points chase, and then you've got your All-Stars points chase, and I got to announce the All-Stars last year, and that was to see the raw emotion out of you guys. It shows like it. You guys don't do it for the money. That's very clear. But like if you walk out of out of Joliet and you're the All-Stars champion, like you might as well win the national championship, because that's a big deal, because you take everybody that's ever been anything in any division and the guy that walks out there kicked all of their teeth in. So that's definitely neat. But I was impressed last year for sure, and I think that if you can go out to Vegas and pull off a double again, I think you're gonna be sitting pretty good.
That's the plan. I hope to.
I'll fly to Vegas then.
We do that and then spend a weekend in Havasu.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, I've seen Havasu. I might not come out of there alive.
I was going to say, Jake made it to leave. Not. He's like, Indiana what? So wait, yeah. Mike, before I leave, I had one more thing I wanted to ask you about. So we talked about James Kunkel earlier, Tim Nicholson, some of these guys, Chris Gerritsen. This top-end throttle stop is kind of picking up some steam with these guys doing really well at it. Any thoughts of ever putting a top-end throttle stop on the Camaro?
Hell no. I don't know how they do it. And good for them for doing it. It's awesome. And they do create nightmares for guys like me. I've run three or four different guys. I've run three different guys, but one of the guys I've run twice this year was top end stops. And it's a tough look. It's really, really hard on me. And
yeah, because they're basically stopping, right? They're literally slowing down at the finish to run 100 or 110 miles an hour, and you're coming at them at like 170 and on the long track. I mean, it's crazy.
Yep, it's a tough look, but there's no way I could do it. I don't know. Like, obviously, I think you got to have some sort of override. I guarantee you I'm grabbing the override every single time. I don't have that discipline to just coast through the finish line and just let go of the button and just be done for the run. I can't. Yeah, exactly. You can't just
cross your fingers.
But I've got to be in control of the finish line. So that it isn't my style, but good for those guys. I know Tim Nicholson really well. Love that guy. He's as good as they are at it.
I mean, he's got like an old pro stock car, basically. It's a 68 Camaro with a 4-speed Elinco, right?
Yep.
And a small block.
I don't think that car has changed since like 1980. The same engine combination, same gear levers he's grabbing. Like, that guy's phenomenal.
It leaves like a old comp car or something modified, and he just flies out of there and then just practically stops. But that's the thing that's so weird about that top end. When you go on the stop down there, you just keep slowing down. And the other cars, you know, when you come off the stop, you're accelerating really fast. So you may say you're running 175 or 170 or whatever, but you're accelerating really quickly in the back half because you're picking up 50 miles an hour in the back half, and they're slowing down 40 or 50. So the closing rate is just goofy.
Tim's got the best deal of all of them, I think, because being a stick car, that car is decelerating really hard as soon as he's off the throttle. Whereas the converter car is kind of freewheeling a little bit.
Yeah.
Tim's crafty. You can't just go up and hold 2/10 on him and just start pushing alongside of him. He's got an override that basically pushes the clutch gin and lets that thing freewheel a little quicker than it does typically. But he's smart with it.
I've heard some really good top-end super gas drivers that tried to hold on him, and he embarrassed them, and they said never again.
It doesn't work. You can't do it. You got to go make a time then. And make a better time on
you. And you know that pisses people off more than anything in super gas or super comp is when you got to make a time run against somebody when you know you normally hold.
Yep, that's me. And you know you can't go better than 25 or 30 on the tree. That's me again.
It's pretty crazy.
It's a brutal game plan.
All right, Mike. Thanks for coming on with us, man. It's been fun talking with you. Good luck as you chase the points. Hopefully you can lock down a big weekend this weekend and take that championship, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right.
Go get it done. Don't suck.
I'm going to try. Thanks, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Ryan's off mute. Ryan's still driving through. Oh, I see a street light.
Yeah, we see a street light. He's not in Podunk, Mississippi.
Yeah, I just crossed it to Alabama.
Oh, he moved up in the world.
I don't know about that.
We made it a little bit closer to where we need to be. So
why are you going on a Monday night to the Million? When do they start? I thought they start tomorrow, on Wednesday.
9 a.m.
We start tomorrow.
Oh, wow. I haven't been paying attention.
Yeah. So, and I am the only announcer tomorrow. So.
Oof. Jake.
Nope. Yeah,
Big Jed and Jim Gleason won't be there till tomorrow night. So I've got a warm-up race to do myself. This is Tara's first original Million that she has to go to. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Hey, doesn't Big Jed live in Alabama? Just ride by and pick up JJ.
Yeah, I think JJ's got a little bit of the schooling he's got to do tomorrow. So
okay.
I mean, I probably would have missed it to go to the Million, but he's been to so many of these, I don't even know if it's worth the day out, or even if you really don't even get days out of school now, you still have to be online or something.
Yeah, and he's been probably announcing at the Million for what, about 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, this is my third Million, and he'd been doing this longer than that. So, I'm excited. I'm tired, but I'm excited.
Well, I hope the weather holds up better than last year. I mean, I rolled in there last year on I don't know what day it was, but it was packed. I mean, just place was packed, and 3 hours later it was empty. As people started leaving or losing, they were leaving that day because they felt like it was going to rain all weekend, which it really didn't. But it kind of sucked because it took a little bit of the prestige off, and then they didn't run the Million until Sunday, which I was already on the road home. I was telling Jake I had to listen to Big Jed on the, on the radio on the way home to listen to the Million. But I'm going to get back there. Hopefully next year we'll be at the OG Million, see it live, experience it all.
Yep. I'm a little interested to see car count this year, just because I mean, it's no secret. We've already had $2 million races in the last 3 weeks. So I always felt like the original holds a special place for everybody. I feel like it's the most prestigious bracket race that we have. It's the one that's weathered through all the different storms. I mean, this is the 25th year. So I'm curious what the car count is this weekend. I guess I'll know when I roll in tomorrow. But, hopefully we can still get, the usual. I mean, the main event usually averages around somewhere around 300 cars, so some, hopefully we can still get somewhere around there and have that Million feel that we kind of got robbed of last year.
Well, I mean, Bailey Ferraro won the warm-up race, so there can't be a whole lot of people there yet.
Yeah, I think all the good competition was at Huntsville. So
yeah.
Well, I'm thinking, based on what I'm seeing social media-wise, it's going to be a pretty decent crowd. And I could be completely wrong, but I think some people are traveling that way.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'd like to see 400 in the main event. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who originally told me they weren't going, and now they're like, yep, head that way. Okay. It's just something about this race that brings them in. It's like, kind of like what you were telling Mike earlier, you enter all these national events trying to get that big Wally. Well, everyone tries to enter the Million because it's the fucking Million. And no matter how many million-dollar races there are, and they're all special in their own way, but it's not their original.
I agree, man. It just has something to it. And like I said, I hope they do well and have a big crowd. I mean, I got back last night, and literally at midnight, I'm driving home from the airport from Vegas, and I'm thinking, let me check the weather. Let me check the schedule. Can I get there? Can I leave Thursday night? And I mean, I'd already told Jenny I wasn't going to come, but I mean, it's the freaking Million, man. I mean, it's pretty cool. I'm not going to make it. The wife has kind of put a stop to all that for this week. But I mean, I was jacked up, ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, we rolled in from Kansas early Sunday morning, We got to actually go home for a day. And I woke up this morning and I was like, man, you know, Montgomery is 10 and a half hours from my house. And we got to drive 10 and a half hours one way so we can get there and start until tomorrow. But in the drive, you know, especially starting later than I wanted to and stuff like that, it's kind of a drag. But the closer I'm getting, I'm like, man, you know, it's still the million and I still get it. I still get excited for this every year.
Oh, yeah.
You got back from Kansas before I got back from Kentucky.
Yeah. So we also went from three races to one race. So that was that helped the getting home part.
Did you enjoy your experience?
For the most part, yeah. I went through my first wind delay. I had never won before. So originally the race I was at was the Bottom Bowl Blowout at Mid-America Dragway in Ark City, Kansas. And originally supposed to run two races on Saturday and one race on Sunday. Well, the weather for Sunday was shit. I mean, I think like the high was like 51 and it started going down after 9 a.m. And it was supposed to be windy. So they're like, no, scrap that. Let's just run two races and we'll take Sunday's first, put it on top of the first race on Saturday. Well, we make a time run and it's windy. Okay. And I roll up there for first round and I'm staging. And as I'm trying to bump in, this racetrack is in the middle of three different cornfields. And there is corn husk hitting the windshield of the car I'm driving. Just flying at me. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, how do you do this? And I let go. I miss a little bit. My guy's red. Well, it got so bad that they were mounding up in the where the stage beams are, the little box that they're in.
Right.
So, because we had 25 mile an hour steady winds and we had 50 mile an hour gusts.
Hell yeah.
And there's just corn flying everywhere. At one point, I saw a tornado. I mean, it was fucking wild. So, we stopped for about 4 hours. We had a driver's meeting and they said, look, guys, you know, there's no way we can get two races in. So, what we're going to do is we're going to combine the purse from all three races into one. And they had a car count bonus that they went over. So, well, I was expecting all combined to be 9,500 to win, ended up being 12,000 to win. And it paid well most of the way down. So, we got started up, gave everyone a time run about 3 o'clock, and I called the final at 9:30. So, it was pretty neat. I actually went quite a few rounds. I was driving Johnson Moggins' street legal Vega wagon going 7:30s, and I made it down to 8 in the gambler race on Friday, and I made it down to 7 in the main event on Saturday.
The best Vega wagon you ever driven?
Yeah. This one they tried to kill me, so it's definitely
for your cutting out, but I'm pretty sure you said this one didn't try to kill you.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this one now. What I did do is this one doesn't have an electric shifter because I guess there are rules in sportsmen. You're not allowed to have one. And about at least twice on Friday and at least once on Saturday, I missed the shifter going to shift. Just whiffed it like a fastball.
Swing and a miss.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was parked with Dan Wheeler. I said, man, the wind light's coming on, but I feel like a monkey fucking a football over here trying to drive this thing.
If it makes you feel any better, you probably look like one too.
I probably did. But you know what? It was fun, especially running. A lot of those guys out there, they have high gear trans brakes. And running those guys, you know, I run Luke Siebert. He was driving Chris Livingood's Vega. I think I run him fourth round. He's dialed 648. I'm dialed 730. Well, I look backwards right after it shifts because I actually hit the shifter right that time. And I'm like, man, he is way back there. And I go to start cutting him in. I'm like, hey, dumbass. He goes 648 at 113. Like, don't start.
Don't start your shit.
Yeah, don't fuck this up already. And there was a lot of that. Dane Wheeler was driving John's other car, the same car that John had at Memphis the week before, and he went like 604 at like 132. I mean, it's insane the setups these guys have. as I am driving through like the densest fog I've ever seen in my life.
We can't see any of that. Keep driving, have fun. We're closing this show out. Keep listening on Drag Champ. Right, listen to Ryan all week in Montgomery. Don't listen to me anymore. I'm probably done for the year on live stream. So there you go.
All right. Yep. We will catch y'all next week. Thanks for listening, guys.
All right. Have fun.
Bye.
All right. I'll see you.